tell. Yo, what's up, what up?
Hi, I'm Blasty. You're gonna be seeing a lot more of me now that everything is coming up drone. It may not look like it, but since I fixed up Afghanistan for the USA, now NATO is going to spend billions for their very own drones, and that's drone-erific. Okay. A lot more of me now that everything is coming up drone. It feels just like me when you're fighting war from your easy chair. While you're safe at home, I'm blasting bad guys and occasional innocent villagers who are clearly on their way to becoming bad guys. It's the drone recruitment effect. From Afghanistan, Pakistan, Somalia, and Yemen to selling drones to Iraq and Turkey, I'm on the leading edge of becoming Drone-topia, where my commander and drone can comfortably target U.S. citizens abroad. And Drone-topia is coming to a police force near you, but just for surveillance, of course. Drone-topia is so wonderful, who can blame other countries if they wanted to be part of it too and say, blast threats who are hiding out in other countries? I can do it all. Kill bad guys. Kill good guys. Fight wars. Fight peace. Wash your car. And even paint your house. So sit back, relax, and push that button. Because thanks to Drone-topia, war has never felt so peaceful.
After 9/11, outside of Afghanistan, actually was in Yemen in November of 2002. The Bush administration authorized a strike that ended up killing a half a dozen people, including a U.S. citizen. My understanding is that they didn't necessarily know that this U.S. citizen was going to be in the convoy, but he was affiliated with this Al-Qaeda organization within Yemen. And then you had kind of a gap after that, where drones were not a primary part of U.S. policy. And then in the mid 2000s. President Bush really started to ratchet up the drone strikes, made a number of deals with the Pakistani government of Pervez Musharraf at the time to allow the U.S. to position drones inside of Pakistan at an airbase called Shamsi, and also in neighboring Afghanistan. The U.S. had drones at the base in Jalalabad, and they started increasing the number of drone strikes, and they were striking in Waziristan, and there'd be, you know, reports that 14 militants were killed, 23 militants were killed. But what we started to see was that a tremendous number of civilians were also being killed.
Lesson, we're going to learn about the Egyptian style of galbuka. The traditional galbuka is made of clay and covered by a fish skin, which should be heated, and eventually it will be stretched during playing. Firstly is the doom. As we said, it's the bass drop of the drum. When we do the doom, we open our palms, we close our fingers, our thumb is open, and we strike at the center of the drum.
Because of the unreliability of some media outlets in Pakistan and propaganda from the U.S. government as well and the Pakistani government, it's hard to know exactly how many civilians have been killed, but I do think that it's safe to say that more civilians or non-military targets have been killed in Pakistan than actual militants or people that were on a targeted kill list from the United States. Enter President Obama in January of 2009. He gets sworn in, and 3 days after being sworn in, he authorizes his first lethal drone strike in Pakistan, and it actually killed a number of civilians. And that was the first known drone strike that Obama authorized. And his administration, I think, has been a pretty major supporter of the idea of drone warfare, robotic warfare. Recently, toward the end here of 2011, there reports emerged that President Obama was overseeing an expansion of bases where drones can operate.
Tuesday, the New York Times published a major expose about how President Obama personally oversees a, quote, secret kill list containing the names and photos of individuals targeted for assassination in the U.S. drone war. According to the Times, Obama signs off on every targeted killing in Yemen and Somalia and the more complex or risky strikes in Pakistan. Can you comment on that?
Well, we've of course known for a long time that the President of the United States believes that he has the power to order people killed, assassinated, in total secrecy, without any due process, without transparency or oversight of any kind. I really do believe it's literally the most radical power that a government and a president can seize, and yet the Obama administration has seized this power and exercised it aggressively with very little controversy. What the New York Times article does is it adds some important, though very disturbing, details. Probably most disturbing of which is that one of the reasons why the Obama administration runs around claiming that the casualties of civilians are so low from their drone attacks, which everybody knows is false, is because they've redefined what a militant is. And a militant in the eyes of the Obama administration formally means any male of fighting age, presumably 18 to 40, who is in a strike zone of a missile. In the eyes of the Obama administration, formally means any male of fighting age, presumably 18 to 40, who is in a strike zone of a missile. So if the United States shoots a missile or detonates a bomb by drone or by aircraft and kills eight or a dozen or two dozen people without even knowing whom they've killed or anything about them, they will immediately label any male of a certain age a militant by virtue of their proximity to that scene. And what the New York Times article said was that the rationale for this is that they believe that anybody who is even near a terrorist or any terrorist activity is, quote, probably up to no good.
WCOM Radio. Hey, listen, I'm furious. Signing in to the micro-powered station here, 103.5 WCOM FM, Chapel Hill Carborough, as in low-power, micro-powered radio. That there in the background is some low-end theory, the first podcast they ever came out with. Get hyped on that. We also had some stuff from Dobkes relating to, you know, themes that I'm going to be spotlighting tonight. Some sounds that background the horrible stuff going on in the Dronetopia world of Obama. Obamatopia. So if you're furious about that like I am and you need to talk about it, just stick around. Or call me at 929-929-9601. I'm furious. I'll be back relatively soon. And I will hopefully be spotlighting some more of this insanity. But also, I want to spin in some stuff from a friend who sent Furious George some cool music. He sent this dude named Sector 7G from Athens, Ohio. Hooked a brother up. So I'm playing a lot more of this mix that he put together for me. And if you want to learn more about it, you can go to furiousg.blogspot, where you can see that mix. It was called A Few for Furious George. But also, if you're just down for listening to some good music and tapping your feet and getting furious, stick around. It's Micropop Radio.
Is false is because they've redefined what a militant is. And a militant in the eyes of the Obama administration formally means any male of fighting age, presumably 18 to 40, who is in a strike zone of a missile. So if the United States shoots a missile or detonates a bomb by drone or by aircraft and kills eight or a dozen or two dozen people, without even knowing whom they've killed or anything about them, they will immediately label any male of a certain age a militant by virtue of their proximity to that scene. And what the New York Times article said was that the rationale for this is that they believe that anybody who is even near a terrorist or any terrorist activity is, quote, probably up to no good. Ironically, that is, as Will Bunch of the Philadelphia Daily News pointed out, the exact phrase that George Zimmerman used when describing Trayvon Martin to the 9/11 call, that he must be up to no good. This sort of suspicion that even though we don't know anything about somebody, the mere happenstance of where they are or what they're doing entitles us not just to harbor suspicions about them, but to kill them. People who are killed by American drones without knowing their identity, even though we now know that the Obama administration uses that word in an incredibly deceitful and propagandistic way. And the fact that Obama himself is sitting at the top of this pyramid, making decisions about life and death, issuing death sentences without a shred of oversight or transparency.
Response to William Daley, the White House chief of staff, and the Times, saying Obama called the decision to strike the U.S.-born cleric Anwar Awlaki an easy one. Glenn?
Well, this is why I wrote yesterday. You know, I think one of the things that the New York Times article did was shed light on President Obama's character. You know, we can talk a lot about his policies, and that usually is what's most important. We've known that he's been embracing these radical theories of executive power that even George Bush's former CIA and NSA chief, General Michael Hayden, has lavishly praised, and other Bush officials are over the moon about in terms of President Obama endorsing him. So we know his policies have been extremist and radical. But here you have one of
of the most controversial things, as I said earlier, that a president can do, ordering an American citizen assassinated by the CIA in total secrecy with no due process, never been charged with any crime, even though they could have charged him if they really had evidence, as they claim, that he was guilty of plotting terrorist attacks. And instead of charging him, they simply secretly ordered his assassination. And it turns out that there was no struggling in terms of the difficult constitutional and ethical and legal issues this obviously presents. According to the president's own aides, they're boasting to the New York Times that he declared that this was a, quote, easy decision, not anything that he struggled with, something that he made quite easily. And so we find out that not only is he exercising this radical power, he's not even having any struggles with conscience or constitutional questions or legal or intellectual quandaries about it. It's something that, as his national security advisor Tom Donilon also bragged to the New York Times about, it shows how, quote, comfortable he is using force, even against American citizens.
Strike that Obama authorized. And his administration, I think, has been a pretty major supporter of the idea of drone warfare, robotic warfare. Recently, toward the end here of 2011, there reports emerged that President Obama was overseeing an expansion of bases where drones can operate. The U.S. operating drones out of Djibouti in East Africa, Ethiopia, which is also in East Africa, and then the Seychelles Islands as well. And I think that the next frontier is going to be an escalation of the drone war in East Africa and along the Arabian Peninsula. Yemen is going to be a big area where drones are striking. Somalia already, there have been a number of drone strikes. When I was there over the summer, there were drone strikes happening. And another big area that the Obama administration's counterterrorism team has been talking about is North Africa, Mali, Mauritania. There's a group called Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb. And so, you know, I think what we're sort of seeing emerge is the sort of mini Obama doctrine within the larger scope of U.S. counterterrorism policy, which is returning to a sort of proxy war mentality of the 1980s in Central America, support for the Contras and others, is happening on a level in Somalia where warlords are being embraced, secret programs are being authorized, and then there's this sort of secret air war that is seen but never confirmed publicly by any named officials. And I think that's going to be one of Obama's foreign policy legacies, is sort of returning us to the era of covert action, not large-scale military occupations.
The New York Times is reporting President Obama personally oversees a, quote, kill list containing the names and photos of individuals targeted for assassination in the secret U.S. drone war. According to the New York Times, Obama signs off on every targeted killing in Yemen and Somalia and the more complex or risky strikes in Pakistan. National Security Advisor Thomas Donilon said, quote, he's determined he will make these decisions about how far and wide these operations will go. Obama's also said to personally approve every addition to the expanding kill list. Individuals on the list include U.S. citizens as well as teenage girls as young as 17 years old.
No,
New York Times quotes former White House Chief of Staff William Daley about Obama's decision to assassinate Anwar al-Awlaki, a U.S. citizen in Yemen. According to Daley, Obama called the decision to strike the U.S.-born cleric, quote, an easy one. Since April, the U.S. has carried out at least 14 drone strikes in Yemen and 6 in Pakistan. Over the weekend, a U.S. drone strike in Yemen killed at least 5 people. In related news, the Wall Street Journal reports the Obama administration plans to arm Italy's fleet of Reaper drone aircraft, a move that could open the door for sales of advanced hunter-killer drone technology to other allies. Besides Britain, to fly U.S. drones armed with missiles and laser-guided bombs. Critics of the proposed sale include the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee, Dianne Feinstein, a California Democrat. Feinstein said, quote, I am concerned by the proliferation of these weapon systems and don't think we should be selling them. International pressure is mounting on the Syrian government following a massacre in the town of Hula that killed at least 108 people, almost half of them children. Testimony Monday before the judicial inquiry investigating the Rupert Murdoch spying scandal. The activist, David Lawley Wakelin, was removed from the proceedings after he called Blair a war criminal.
Excuse me, this man should be arrested for war crimes. J.P. Morgan paid him off for the Iraq war. 3 months after we invaded Iraq, they held up the Iraq bank for $20 billion. He was then paid $6 million every year and still is from J.P. Morgan 6 months after he left office. The man is a war criminal!
And that, I think, reflects really on the type of person that occupies the Oval Office.
You also write, Glenn Greenwald, in this piece, you recommend Aaron David Miller's piece, the New York Times reporter who does a piece in foreign policy called Barack O'Romney, that the reason these candidates, Romney and Obama, are not particularly fighting over foreign policy but domestic issues is because of the broad Democratic-Republican consensus between the Republicans and the Democrats, even as they fight about what's going on in Washington. People talk about no consensus at all. In fact, there's a very serious consensus, unanimity in dealing with foreign policy, Glenn.
Right. I mean, one of the things that progressives and Democratic partisans love to say is that Republicans will never give President Obama credit for anything. And this is a complete untruth. It's a total falsehood. You can go back over the last 3 years and find instance after instance after instance where not just Republicans, but the furthest right neocons and national security state officials of the Bush administration have lavished President Obama with praise for his most defining and controversial.
And I'm Juan Gonzalez. As President Obama expands the use of armed drones to assassinate suspects overseas, the White House is reportedly taking up a key role in determining who should be targeted. Since Obama has taken office, deadly drone strikes have been carried out in Pakistan, Afghanistan, Yemen, and Somalia. According to the Associated Press, a small team at the White House, led by Counterterror Chief John Brennan, has taken the lead for drafting lists of individuals to target. One official said there is a growing concern over, quote, how easy it has become to kill someone.
Mm-hmm.
under the administration's drone strike policy. Late last month, Brennan publicly confirmed that the United States has used drones to conduct targeted killings overseas.
Seeing a lot more of me now that everything is coming up drone. It may not look like it, but since I fixed up Afghanistan for the USA, now NATO is going to spend billions for their very own drones, and that's drone-erific.
What can you do that's fantastic?
Hey, I'm blasting bad guys and occasional innocent villagers who are clearly on their way to becoming bad guys. Selling drones to Iraq and Turkey, I'm on the leading edge of becoming Drone-topia, where my commander and drone can comfortably target U.S. citizens abroad. And Drone-topia is coming to a police force near you, but just for surveillance, of course. Drone-topia is so wonderful, who can blame other countries if they wanted to be part of it too and say, blast threats who are hiding out in other countries? I can do it all. Kill bad guys. Kill good guys. Fight wars, fight peace, wash your car, and even paint your house. So sit back, relax, and push that button, because thanks to Drone-topia, war has never felt so peaceful.
that he was talking about.
Well, I think you better go, Glenn. I don't want you to get bit, but...
Believes that done carefully, deliberately, and responsibly, we can be more transparent and still ensure our nation's security. So let me say it as simply as I can. Yes, in full accordance with the law, and in order to prevent terrorist attacks on the United States and to save American lives, the United States government conducts targeted strikes against specific Al-Qaeda terrorists. Sometimes using remotely piloted aircraft.
Supporter of the idea of drone warfare, robotic warfare. Recently, toward the end here of 2011, there reports emerged that President Obama was overseeing an expansion of bases where drones can operate.
Subject. On Tuesday, the New York Times published a major expose about how President Obama personally oversees a, quote, secret kill list containing the names and photos of individuals targeted for assassination in the U.S. drone war. According to the Times, Obama signs off on every targeted killing in Yemen and Somalia and the more complex or risky strikes in Pakistan. Individuals on the list include U.S. citizens as well as teenage girls as young as 17 years old.
We, of course, known for a long time that the President of the United States believes that he has the power to order people killed, assassinated, in total secrecy, without any due process, without transparency or oversight of any kind. I really do believe it's literally the most radical power that a government and a president can seize, and yet the Obama administration has seized this power and exercised it aggressively with very little controversy. What the New York Times article does is it adds some important, though very disturbing, details. Probably most disturbing of which is that one of the reasons why the Obama administration runs around claiming that the casualties of civilians are so low from their drone attacks, which everybody knows is false, is because they've redefined what a militant is.
We are only beginning to realize what a tiny slice of human possibility we now exist. The total environment is now the great teacher. Training will be more concerned with training the senses of this.
Thank you.
this sort of suspicion that even though we don't know anything about somebody, the mere happenstance of where they are or what they're doing entitles us not just to harbor suspicions about them, but to kill them.
Has said
in his own book Dreams from My Father 1995, before entering politics, he admitted that he'd used marijuana and maybe a little blow. Maybe a little blow, which as you know is crazy talk. Maybe a little blow is what someone who uses marijuana every weekend says. If you used it once, you went, man, I used cocaine once, it was crazy.
Yeah,
but if you use it every week, you go, maybe a little blow. That's such an odd, casual way to say, maybe a little.
Now, he has not left this to states' rights. As you know, medical marijuana, as our good friend Joe Rogan will point out to you anytime, medical marijuana you can get in California. And the feds are coming in to try to stop this.
They're still arresting people.
States' rights don't mean jack shit to the Obama administration on anything except... except gay marriage. What troubles me about this is, and it is not hypocrisy, because as everybody knows, hypocrisy doesn't bother me very much.
Yeah, you like hypocrisy.
And so Obama...
And yet you feel this is worse?
I think it's beyond hypocrisy. I think it's something to do with class. You know, and a lot of people have accused Obama of class warfare, but in the wrong direction. I believe this is Obama chortling with Jimmy Fallon about lower class people. Do we believe, even for a second, anybody believe that if Obama had been busted for marijuana under the laws that he condones, would his life have been better? If Obama had been caught with the marijuana that he says he uses and maybe a little blow, cocaine, blow,
felony conviction.
This casual attitude toward drugs, a casual attitude toward drugs that makes him really cool on Jimmy Fallon. Makes him the hip president. I'm the cool president. I'm the happy and happiest president. I say weed. I say blow. It's all a big deal. Ha, ha, ha. Huge laugh from the college students. And if he had been busted under his laws, he would have done hard fucking time. And if he had done time in prison, time in federal prison, time for his weed and a little blow, he would not be president of the United States of America. And he would not have gone to his fancy-ass college. He would not have sold books that sold millions and millions of copies and made millions and millions of dollars. He would not have a beautiful, smart wife. He would not have a great job. He would have been in fucking prison, and it's not a goddamn joke. Set free. It is insane to lock people up. Now, people bust me all the time for carrying on about how I've never had a sip of alcohol, never had a puff of marijuana, never done any drugs in my life. They say, why do you always bring that up? Well, maybe in this case it's okay to bring it up, okay? I've never had a puff of marijuana. I've never had maybe a little blow. I've never even had a glass of wine, all right? None of that shit. But the people who do any of this stuff do not deserve to be in prison. Throw some numbers at me, Godot.
750,000 people in jail for victimless crimes, a great number of which are marijuana. One in six people in jail are there for marijuana.
Not one in six people are victimless crimes.
No, one in six
are
for marijuana.
One in six people in prison. One in six people in prison. One in six people in prison are in there for weed that Jimmy Fallon and the President of the United States of America laugh about. Ha, ha, ha. And then does this addendum that maybe will help him with treatment. Treatment from the fucking government? You need treatment? You smoke dope? You're President of the United States. You did not need treatment.
We'll be right back.
maybe it'll help him with his treatment. Treatment from the fucking government? You need treatment? You smoke dope? You're president of the United States. You did not need treatment. Let the people go. And we've put more people in jail than any civilized country ever has. The people who are in jail are predominantly African American. They're predominantly poor. But politicians...
Right.
Who are busted for marijuana, who go to jail, you cannot be a politician. These laws would not allow us to have the President of the United States of America that we have now. It is not something that you laugh about. It is this goofy kind of thing. Can you imagine if your child were doing time in prison for marijuana?
Is reporting President Obama personally oversees a, quote, kill list.
Toward the end here of 2011, there reports emerged that President Obama was overseeing an expansion of bases where drones can operate. The U.S. operating drones out of Djibouti in East Africa, Ethiopia, which is also in East Africa, and then the Seychelles Islands.
WCOM FM 103.5, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Hey, listen, I'm furious, and we've been spotlighting some of the Obama hypocrisy related to the drone warfare and Mr. Nobel Prize man. But hey, Romney's not any better. They all suck. Listen, I'm furious, and we'll be back next week. Stick around for more bodacious ness. I want to say thanks to the DJ, John Boner. Thanks for being here, honorable representative. And for everyone else who's tuned in and listening to Michael Pye Radio and want to learn more about it, go to WCOMFM.org, or you can see some old Furious shows at FuriousG.blogspot.com. I'll just spin away some more of this stuff and let DJ Grizzly take over. I'm furious. Good night.
The caravan left sometime toward midnight. The professor, not unconscious, but in a state of utter stupor, still gagging and drooling blood, was doubled up into a sack and tied to the side of the camel. The lower end of the enormous amphitheater contained a natural gate in the rocks. The camels, swift Mihara, were lightly laden on this trip.
20 at MPG Highway.
Learning, the educational process, has long been associated only with the glum